passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome to Baseball America's College Podcast. Baseball America, bringing you baseball news you can't get anywhere else for more than 35 years. Now it's time to talk college baseball.
I'm Teddy Cahill. We're coming to you here in the fall. We're going to try and get the college podcast back on a little bit of a regular schedule here in the fall as we go in with fall ball, and then before we know it, we'll be getting ready for preview and the college season to come. So we're going to try and have the podcast going throughout that, keep you going here through the off season. And today we're going to start with an interview with Texas coach David Pierce. Coach Pierce was our 2018 Coach of the Year after Texas reached the College World Series, won the Big 12, all of it in thrilling fashion, an outstanding run through especially the second half of the season. They won the Big 12 on the last day of the regular season. Their super regional against Tennessee Tech was very exciting, went the full three games, and ultimately landed the Longhorns back in Omaha for the first time in 4 or 5 years. So great job last year by the Longhorns and by Coach Pierce. And so we're going to talk with him today a little bit about last season, how that all came together, and they were able to put that run together. And then also last week over at baseballamerica.com and in the magazine, we released our recruiting rankings, and Texas ranked number 8. That was their first top 10 ranking since 2012. So, you know, Texas got a lot of young, good incoming talent. So we'll hit on that with Coach Pierce. And then we'll look ahead a little bit to fall ball and see what the Longhorns are looking forward to this fall and, how Coach Pierce is looking to handle that as a lot of the team returns on the position player side, but they're going to have a lot of new pitchers, especially from this recruiting class, taking new roles on the team. So we'll talk with him a little bit about that. So we're going to welcome in Coach Pierce here and hear what he has to say. Well, welcome to the Baseball America podcast, Coach Pierce. Thanks for joining me. We're happy to have you on today.
Teddy, I appreciate you having us, having me. It's been a very good start so far, but just excited to visit about Texas baseball.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about last year. Obviously, a very good year for the team. Texas won the Big 12, got to host a regional for the first time in a few years, and then, of course, you go through win that regional, then beat Tennessee Tech in the Super Regional to get back to Omaha. And have you had much time to reflect on the success of last year, and what kind of memories do you have about the team that are going to stay with you now?
Well, first of all, it was awesome to be in those positions this past season, because it's been a while for Texas, and to see the fan base and to see the state of Texas get excited about Texas baseball again was really fun. The thing I remember mostly about that team is how much I feel like we overachieved and the stories that we had. We had Parker Joe Robinson that comes out and pitches outstanding out of the bullpen. And hasn't really contributed for the last couple of years, but became a guy for us. You had Andy McGuire and Josh Sawyer that have been off the team the last couple of years, that became contributors. And then you look at a guy like Jake McKenzie, who is the ultimate utility player that takes over a role at first base and even labeled himself when he was hitting in the nine hole as the third number three hole hitter, you know, and stuff like that throughout the year. He had a couple other guys that just had incredible seasons, especially Cody Clemens. And to watch Cody throughout the course of the season and the consistency that he showed was very, very impressive. And it's a year that will go down in history at the University of Texas and college baseball. So there were so many great things, and we were able to reflect on those. And then you look at, well, we had a very, very short summer, but that's for a good reason. And then here we go, starting it all over again. But just a lot of interesting young men that played for us that really believed in team and did so many things that contributed to the success of the team. And I said it many times that I felt the strength of our team was the team itself, because guys did a great job of doing their jobs. And it was just fun to watch.
You mentioned Cody Clemens. Of course, he had a phenomenal year, All-American year, Golden Spikes finalist. With you being in Houston for so long with Rice, I mean, did you know the Clemens family much before you came to Texas?
Oh, yeah. You know, Roger and Debbie have four boys, and we recruited their oldest when he was at Memorial High School, when I was at Rice, and then he opted to go into the draft. And Roger played for Coach Graham, so he would come by the Rice campus and we would visit a little bit, but really, really got to know the Clemens the last couple of years. And, you know, people continued to ask, how is it having Roger as a dad of one of your players and or two of your players? And I thought he did a tremendous job of staying out of our business, but being there to inject if we wanted it. He never did anything that we felt like was out of line. It was always, hey, coach, if there's anything that I can do for you guys and the team, I'd be more than willing to pitch in. And so it was a great relationship. And I just think they did a hell of a job of raising Cody and Casey, because very, very competitive and really, really Texas Longhorn type of family. But those kids really exemplified being Texas Longhorns.
Absolutely. At what point during the year did you realize that Cody was having, like, a special season?
Probably at OU. And we won game one. We were playing game two. We got behind 3-0. We scratched back a run, and then Duke Ellis tied it up 3-3 with a double to left, scored two. So we're in a 3-3 game, and gosh, him and Zubia, they did so many things great, but he hit a home run off of the freshman Prather, the left-hander, that, you know, he goes 94 down and away, 94 down and away, bounces a curveball, and then just leaves the curveball up and hits it over the right field wall. And I'm like, that's not supposed to happen. And he saw the ball so well, he was in a position to drive the ball in the middle of the field consistently, and just, you know, he was just in a position to do that, but his ability and his confidence to finish it was just impressive. So I would say probably that weekend at OU, and it just never – he had one short lull throughout the entire year, and that was it. It was just a very consistent season for Cody.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the series you're mentioning there against Oklahoma was part of, you know, the kind of second half run this team went on. You were just .500 going into conference play, and you talked about how there weren't that many expectations on this team. People didn't see it coming into the year maybe as an Omaha team. And, you know, you talked about it during the postseason, but I wondered if you could just kind of explain a little bit about how the team grew up in the second half and how you and your coaching staff kind of pulled that out of them as the season went on.
Yeah, that's that was kind of the telltale, the turning point. We came out of the Arkansas two Dave and I did a we'll complete the two-game series this year at our place, but, you know, we play a very difficult non-conference schedule. And so we played Stanford at home for four and then Arkansas on a two-game series in Fayetteville. And so you're playing six games, and it's not uncommon to play that type of opponent, but both of them were top five, not top 25. They were outstanding. And so we go one and we win the Thursday night game with our Tuesday starter against Stanford, and then they beat us the next three. So we limp on a plane to go to Fayetteville. It was cold, clear but cold. We were ready to play. We were excited about being there, good crowd. And we just got our butts kicked. And I think we gave up 27 runs in two games. And it was very questionable if we were any good. It really was. We came out of that 9-9 in the season, and I just recall the players had a players-only meeting, and basically they just talked to each other about doing your job and just staying consistent of not giving in to some failure, and really just getting into that grind and not giving in. And I thought the coaching staff, including myself in this case, we didn't panic. We just knew that we played two really good teams, and we had a tough stretch. And so we went into the KU series right after Augie had passed, and, wow, it became magical right away. We win Friday night. We hadn't scored 16 runs or 16 hits in the entire season or the season before. And Augie wore number 16, and we had 16 hits. We won the game big, and it just started. We're in the Friday. We come back in Saturday. We play really well, and we sweep the series. And you can just see the players just take a breath and just realize that, all right, we got a shot at this. We're 3-0 in conference, and it wasn't anything extraordinary, though. We still felt like we had to piece together the pitching staff throughout the season. But just little things of taking care of your jobs, advancing a runner, getting a runner in from third base, and still never winning big, just finding ways to win. And I thought that was just such a tribute to the mentality of our team. So, yeah, that was kind of the turning point. And you know, the kids just continue to play with a very consistent approach.
You mentioned there, you know, Augie's passing, and obviously that was a very emotional time, especially for the players, a lot of whom had been recruited by Augie. And then in Omaha, you wore his number 16. Just what did that mean to you to do that and to, you know, have that opportunity?
Well, Augie has meant so much to college baseball and started on the West Coast and you know, in his playing days, but he's just been an incredible ambassador for college baseball of doing things in a team orientation and doing the little things and the disciplined things that it takes to win against good opponents. And so when his passing took place, it was emotional, and it was emotional in Austin because he had spent 20 years here. It was emotional at the University of Texas and, of course, with our program. But we had a handful of guys that played for him, a handful of guys that had been recruited by him. But we just embraced his piece of Texas baseball. And one thing we have to do around here as well is you have to embrace the expectations of what happens at the University of Texas. You can't run from it. And we did the same thing with Augie. But the interesting piece was we were far from an Omaha team. We were playing in the conference tournament. And our equipment manager, Vince Alcazar, he and I were sitting in the clubhouse and we were flipping through a program, and Augie was wearing number 2. And I said, Vince, why does Augie have number 2 here? And this is a program that the conference tournament was honoring coach in. And he goes, well, he wore that one year when Woody Woodman passed away. And Woody Woodman, our locker room is named after. and Augie wore that number two in Omaha. And I thought, wow, that's pretty interesting. I said, Vinny, if we go to Omaha, I want to wear number 16. What do you think? And he teared up and he said, that's incredible. And he says, I hope that happens. I said, well, can you get it done? He goes, yeah, I'll start working on it right now. And trust me, we were 0-1 in the tournament at the time. We weren't even sure we were getting in a regional. And my goodness, we had this opportunity. And when we clinched the super regional, he walked in my office with my four jerseys with number 16. And we both just kind of teared up like, wow, this is meant to be. And that's kind of how that feeling, how it all kind of laid out, I guess. But just a really special time for our team, and it was an honor for me to be able to do that.
You spent almost your entire coaching career in Texas, so you ran across, played against Augie, coached against Augie a lot. What's your best favorite Augie story?
Well, there's many. I also had a chance to spend a couple of Decembers with Augie and about four other coaches in Singapore, and just sitting under a tent and talking to the winningest coach in baseball, and he's actually listening to you, and he had such a way of making you feel so important and making you feel like, you know, your information mattered, and he was a great listener. But I guess it was pretty interesting when we were playing. I was at Sam Houston State, and we were 2-0 in the Minute Maid Classic, and walked up to home plate at the home plate the umpires meeting, and I think they were 1-1, and we had played really well, so we were feeling great about ourselves. And when I walked up to home plate and I shook his hand, he goes, "You look cute." I'm like, what does that mean?" I didn't really know how to take it, but it's just kind of how, like, his way of saying, "You know what? We're getting ready to kick your ass." And we went 2-1. They beat us 3-2, and we didn't play well. But it was just interesting. But there's many stories. Just, you know, he had such a way of. I know he wasn't ready to end his career, but I do know that he was about as gracious as you could be in accepting me here, and we got very close in a short amount of time. And he was able to just share with me the ins and outs of little things, but little things at the University of Texas that are different than most places.
Yeah, it's absolutely a special, special place. And, you know, there's no easy transition from that to this year. But, I mean, when we look at your recruiting class, which last week we ranked number 8th in the country. It's the first top 10 class for Texas in several years. This is a good, large group of incoming players. I mean, when you look at them, I mean, what excites you about the future of Texas baseball?
Well, your recruiting always goes in cycles of the needs of your team. And the two things I always look at when we talk about recruiting is the number one thing is what's the need of the team. The number two thing is what's the availability of scholarship and what can you offer a player. So those two things are the most important thing. We returned 7 of our 9 starters, with our number 2 catcher also returning. We lose Cody and we lose our first baseman, Jake McKenzie. All others return. So this cycle is very pitching heavy. So the thing that stands out first is that we feel like we recruited very good arms. They're going to have to fast forward because by February we can't afford them to act like freshmen because they are talented, but at the same time, they have to have the confidence of pitching to a 21-year-old that, you know, can really play at the level that we play and trust themselves to do the same thing they would do if they were pitching in high school, because it's very relevant. A good pitch is a good pitch, and that's what they need to understand. So this recruiting class is very heavy on the pitching side. But I thought Coach Allen and Coach Miller, and Coach Allen does just – an incredible job of being our recruiting coordinator. And that's a very difficult and important role in college baseball right now, because the way things have turned of the early signings or the early commits, and we still need to make a change in our industry. We're committing 14-year-olds, and I think that's a mistake. And it's our intent to not get to a point where we stockpile on those young kids and then sit on them and then decide whether or not they're good enough or if they've improved enough. But it's difficult because you're always looking for the needs of your team. And when you're recruiting three classes out now, it's very difficult to do. So we've made a pretty solid commitment to be patient. So I think Coach Allen has a juggling act to do with that when you're dealing with the immediate needs and then the future and how the draft affects us, which when you're in a program like Texas, you're constantly going to deal with the draft on the front end. As well as, you know, sophomore eligibles and juniors. So this class, very pitching heavy, but we inserted a couple of really good middle infielders. We inserted a couple of really good left-handed hitting outfielders that can really run and be explosive and be everyday players. Whether or not they will play every day is going to be up to them and if they're able to beat out some of the returnees. But it's a little bit smaller in our position players, much larger in our pitching just because of our cycle.
Your whole staff has been together with you for several years now, dating back to your time at Sam Houston. What differences are there recruiting to Texas, if any, versus what you did at Tulane and at Sam?
Well, just to touch on our staff, first of all, it's been just a wonderful, wonderful setup. And I think they would agree with that, because there's been such a trust factor and a respect factor in our program. And we've never been at one place very long. And so it's having the ability to move to another place, to not miss a beat, to not worry about if we're communicating to players in the same direction that I communicated in the previous year, are we doing the things consistently and how we approach our players? We do, because we kind of know what they really know what I want, and it's a consistent dialogue between them and I. And it's an open dialogue to understand how can we maximize these guys. The difference, I think, is what you really have to pay attention to is when we were at Sam Houston State early on, you could really get some quality walk-on JC kids that you could just go, all right, we can take five of those guys, and if two of them pan out, great. If you end up grabbing a JC arm or, you know, stockpiling a couple of infielders because you have that ability, it's a cheap school as far as cost. And it was in a great location and a great program. And Matt's done a great job of continuing it. But when we went to Tulane, now you're dealing with a little bit more dynamics of what I dealt with at Rice, where you've got to get into the Metroplex, the Houston areas, the Orlandos, the Northeast, where you're in bigger cities, because a lot of your small-town Louisiana kids couldn't afford Tulane. And it's a private school, so there are certain types of kids that are predisposed to go to a private school, an academic private school. And then you look at the cost factor. So all of those pieces play a part. When you come to Texas, now you're back to, it's a state school, so tuition is very affordable. And our state is so large that we can do a lot of in-state. So we really isolate. We're going to do most of our recruiting in-state, and then we'll go out of state for a specific need. Maybe a catcher, maybe a left-handed hitter, maybe a shortstop or a big arm. But otherwise, we're going to stay in the state. But it's, to me, it's refreshing to recruit here because it's such a brand, and it's so easy for me to sell that it's very refreshing.
Absolutely. got that wonderful ballpark, all those fans. I'm sure that's plays in recruits' minds pretty well. I guess now we're about a week out from fall ball for you guys, really starting. What are you looking forward to this fall? What are you hoping to see out of your guys?
Well, we have to have our young arms mature and build the confidence that they can beat college hitters. And we need our returners, which we've already noticed, we need them to be really committed of getting better every day. Just if it's just 1% of how can you improve your game. The one thing that I really believe is that when you go to Omaha, you understand what you're playing for. And there's so many teams that start the season talking about Omaha, but until you've experienced that, you really don't know what you're playing for. And when we went last year, myself, Drew Bishop, our baseball ops position, Josh Sawyer, a fifth-year senior pitcher, were the only three people in our entire organization, in the entire organization that's ever competed in Omaha. And this year we returned 19 of those players, a full coaching staff. And so the expectation from the actual players that understand how much fun that is and what it takes to get there is now already being passed on to young players. And so we need that consistent approach of understanding what it takes to be good. And then you've got to have a little luck. You got to stay healthy. And you just got to be good at the end of the year. And I thought that was our difference, is that at the end of the year, we played with such freedom, and we played the game with excitement and passion and basically did our job. But I'd just like to see us just get a little bit better with our older players and really bring along these young arms and young players.
The NCAA this year changed the rule to allow you to play two games against outside competition. You're going to play a couple really good junior college teams this fall, McLennan and Sanjack. Just what was your philosophy on putting those games together and choosing those schools?
If we were going to play a team within a proximity that made sense, like Texas State or one of the San Antonio schools, they're already on our schedule. The piece for us is we do not get an opportunity to see the junior college players enough. And so it gives us a chance to compete against two really quality teams that have very good arms, that tend to get a lot of bounce-back kids, so it's going to be very competitive, but to also expose the University of Texas to those two programs. And so it allows us to not only compete and see our players do with outside competition, but to also have an opportunity to see some junior college kids that we might not get an opportunity to see. So that's the reasoning there. And I definitely like playing the outside competition.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun wrinkle this fall to see everyone be able to play someone wearing another color jersey. I mean, just that alone seems like a big upgrade in the fall experience for everyone.
It's amazing how different your players are. I mean, we had a couple of players last fall that just tore it up. And then we played another opponent. We played McLennan last year, and it was just, they were different. And the other piece of that is the NCAA has allowed those games not to count against your eligibility. In other words, if you play in those games and then it becomes a potential redshirt player, those fall games will not count against the redshirt. So it allows us to see them against outside competition, but it still gives us the freedom that maybe this player becomes a redshirt and we don't have to worry about that piece.
Well, I'll get you out of here on this last question, Coach Pierce. I mean, just there's a lot of really good food in Austin. I know Augie, of course, had his restaurant kind of show. What do you like about living in Austin the most?
Well, first of all, it's home. I love being in Texas. It's a vibrant city. The music industry is awesome, from, you know, what a lot of the college kids like to Texas country to just the culture of music being a piece of it. And yeah, I spent 2 years in New Orleans, and they had some unbelievable food, but it was the place that I like to go visit to eat that type of food. Here is, I mean, I could eat barbecue every day, to be honest with you, and there's nothing better than a good steak from Texas either. So, really, I can just say that there's a variety of choices, and we experience those frequently.
Yeah, when I was down at the Super Regional, I know I told you this, that I just ate entirely too well. I don't see how you guys live there and still manage to stay in shape.
It's tough. It's tough. Well, come see me again, and I'll take you to lunch or dinner.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Coach Pierce, for spending some time here on the Baseball America College Podcast.
Appreciate it, Teddy.
Thank you again to Coach Pierce for joining us here today on the Baseball America Podcast. Again, like I mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to try and keep this going here on something of a weekly basis throughout the fall and into the winter as we get ready for next season, the 2019 season. I can't promise you every week, but I think we can do this most weeks. There's a lot going on here. You know, like we mentioned, the NCAA now allowing the teams to play two games that don't count against the 56 game max, and so it'll be interesting to see how programs do when they're facing each other, and just how everyone organizes that and goes through that. And hopefully we'll be able to talk to some players here and to some coaches and maybe some alumni as well. I know I always enjoy doing that. So that's what we have to look forward to here on the Baseball America College Podcast this fall and into the winter. So, you know, please continue to check us out here to rate, review, subscribe, all of that great stuff. And to go over to baseballamerica.com. Right now we have a lot of recruiting content up. There's the top 25 classes. The next 10 classes, there's more to come, and we'll have great stuff throughout the fall. And, of course, here at Baseball America, it's also getting ready. We're getting into prospect season, as we call it here, when we rank the top 20 prospects in every minor league. And before you know it, we'll be ranking the top prospects for all 30 teams in building our prospect handbook, which you can probably pre-order. I'm pretty sure you can pre-order that on the website right now, baseballamerica.com. So go there, check all of that out, and you know, we'll be back here next week with a new college podcast. Thanks, everyone, for listening.
This concludes our program. Want more in-depth baseball coverage? Be a better fan. Visit BaseballAmerica.com to get more comprehensive baseball coverage.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 Dream Beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.